Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for our midweek Bible study. Let's talk about Jesus today. Thank you for joining us as we gather around the Word of God. Right here on this website, wherever you're hearing this, anywhere in America, anywhere in the world, because of the World Wide Web, we thank you for coming today and joining with us. If you're a Christian, you're part of a growing family all around the world. And if you are not a Christian today, please stay tuned and hear what our God is giving us as, in terms of instruction here in these last days, these perilous times that mark the last days, these important truths to living in victory and being ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, whom I believe is coming very, very soon, and being in a situation where we are going to be able to escape the wrath to come. For we, as Christians, are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ today. That in and of itself ought to put us on shouting ground and have us, amen, put on our shouting shoes today. That means an attitude of gratitude to God that stimulates us to praise Him and honor Him, revere Him, and serve Him and follow Him. Hallelujah. Well, the title of our message today is very important, particularly to last day Christians. And it is in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21. The subject is, keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from idols. Little children, it says, keep yourselves from idols. In most New Testament letters, the final words are usually a warning in their closing lines. Keep yourself from idols means keep yourself from trusting, obeying, revering, and following. That is, in effect, worshiping anyone or anything other than God Himself, His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to make a statement here, continuing on this scripture, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Sin of idolatry is a gateway sin. I want to emphasize that, and I want to put that in parenthesis today. The sin of idolatry is a gateway sin to so many other sins. The devil wants you to worship him. The world wants you to worship it. And our own flesh nature wants our indulgence of it, making us lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This is the gateway sin. The term keep yourself from idols is more critical to our victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil now more than ever. The gateway sin of the last days, bringing perilous times, is the ultimate idolatry, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, and therefore lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let's read that out of 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. And look how this gateway sin leads to so many other sins. And it has to do with the ultimate idolatry, and that is the love of one's own self. And it leads to many other idols that we will find ourselves bowing to other than our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Here's the warning. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous, outrageously dangerous times will come. For men shall be, here it is, lovers of their own selves. Everyone in this audience, think or say the ultimate idolatry. That's why we're told to flee idolatry. Keep yourself from idolatry. Keep yourself from this self-love. You know, to follow Jesus, there's a prerequisite to be a disciple of Jesus. It involves a lot more than joining a church and going to church and being baptized in water so you can join that church. It involves denying ourselves, taking up our cross in order to follow Him. It's more than just attending church or a Bible study. It's getting rid of this self-love. It is, in essence, crucifying the flesh. Taking up your cross doesn't mean bearing up under the persecutions that certainly will come if we live godly. It means to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof in order to follow His self-sacrificing example. Men will be lovers of their own self. Now look at that. This self-love, it would be described this way by sociologists looking at our particular generation and many generations down through the years. It's called narcissism. Narcissism is love of oneself. It's based on the Greek, whether it's myth, of Narcissus, who it is said he was so handsome, he was so beautiful, that he went down to wash his face in a placid pool, and when he did, he saw his own reflection in it, and pined away his whole life because he couldn't have himself. He was a lover of himself more than anyone or anything else. Self-love is the foundation for the ultimate idolatry. Men will be lovers of their own self. They will be narcissists, but more than that, it will go beyond, it will take self-love to an extreme. And because of self-love, of course, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. If you love yourself extremely and ultimately, you will not have the normal affection you should have for others or for your children, for your wife, for your mother, or your father. And it will lead to what I believe are these other sins marking the last days. Amen. When we want someone like ourself, leaving the natural use of the woman burning in lust for one another, for women and men doing likewise, I believe it includes this without natural affection. Then we will become truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, without sexual restraint in the context here, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I'm probably going to get blowback on this message because we're telling you the truth from the Word of God. But I have to be true to the Word of God today. Listen to verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, this will creep into the Christian community and into religious groups. Listen, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Listen, from such turn away. Not just the sins, but fellowship with the sinners. Love them, pray for them, witness to them. But don't compromise your faith to sin with them. The Scripture says clearly, as Christians, we are to come out from among them. This is not self-righteousness. This is not some kind of sanctimonious separateness. This is simply keeping our faith and our loyalty to our God. It's keeping ourselves from the idolatry that we are warned against. You would think that would be just an Old Testament concept, that we wouldn't need that. Here it is in the New Testament. Little children, 1 John 5:21, keep yourself from idols. The Scripture says we're to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Listen to it. I'm going to read it from a paraphrase, or another translation, actually, here in 2 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 14. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? There it is. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Says who? Some Pentecostal preacher that is so radical in preaching legalism. No, it may be a Pentecostal preacher preaching holiness. It may be a Baptist preacher preaching holiness, or a Methodist preacher that hasn't compromised yet preaching holiness and sanctification. But it's the truth. It's what God says we should be doing. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a good deal, friend, to have God father you, protect you, provide for you, keep you, help you to keep yourself from idols. Praise God. Listen, it is important that we understand what the scriptures say, both Old and New Covenant, about idolatry. And it's important that we heed the warning and allow Him to sanctify us and cleanse us, that we may keep ourselves from idolatry. Look at Isaiah 44, 9 through 20. Isaiah 44, about idolatry in the Old Testament, but it relates to us. Listen to it. Isaiah 44, 9 through 20. We're going to read this also from another translation. All who fashion idols are nothing. This is for clarity's sake. And the things they delight in do not profit. Their witnesses neither see nor know, that they may be put to shame. Who fashions a god or cast an idol that is profitable for nothing. Behold, all his companions shall be put to shame, and the craftsmen are only human. Let them all assemble, let them stand forth. They shall be terrified, they shall be put to shame together. The ironsmith takes a cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with hammers and works it with his strong arm. He becomes hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with planes and marks it with a compass. He shapes it into the figure of a man and with the beauty of a man to dwell in a house. He cuts down cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree or an oak and lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for a man. He takes a part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes it an idol and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over the half he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. And he warms himself and says, listen carefully, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. You see the subtlety and subversive sin of idolatry. We're told when God brought Israel into the promised land, there was a warning about idolatry, about looking to someone or something else other than God Himself, even looking to ourself and making ourself an idol. Listen, beware when thou art come into a land that is flowing with milk and honey, and when you build your houses and your crops grow, I'm paraphrasing here, when you dig ore from those mountains and you make implements of metal, in other words, you prosper like God wants to prosper you. Watch out for this. Look out for this. Beware of this. After thou art eaten and art full, and after you build your houses and you're growing actually rich because God was blessing them, lest you say in your heart, mine hand hath gotten me these things, and you forget the Lord thy God. This is idolatry. It's a gateway. You see the gateway sin of idolatry, the gateway sin that opens the door for all of these other sins. If we can close this door, we can overcome so many temptations in our life. And the ultimate temptation is to worship someone or something else other than God, to look to someone or something else other than God as our source. Amen. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, this is a great warning from God. Listen to it out of Psalm 115, verse 1 through 8. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? They're looking for our man-made God, something they can see, feel, and touch. But our God is in heaven, it goes on to say. He does whatever He pleases. He's sovereign, in other words. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, they do not walk. They're not coming to your aid. You can cry unto them like Baal's prophets and cut yourself, but you can't to show self-sacrificing unto them. But they will not deliver you in the day of trouble. There is a God who has eyes that see, ears that hear, hands that touch. He can come to you. Hallelujah. When you call upon Him. Listen. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. Those who make them are like them. We become like unto the gods that we make. So is everyone who trusts in them. We become like that we trust in. Listen to Matthew in the New Covenant, Matthew 13, 14, and 15, quoting Isaiah's words. Listen, and then the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, saying, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people has grown dull, their ears dull of hearing, hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed. See, they're becoming just like the idols that they have made, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, literally repent, so that I should heal them. Listen, idolatry allows the enemy to blind our eyes, lest we would see, lest in hearing we would hear what the Spirit is saying to us, hear what Christ is saying to us. So idolatry leads to spiritual blindness and deafness, and it allows and creates a rebellious heart. Look at Judah's captivity in Ezekiel 12, 1 through 3. Listen to it and look at this gateway sin again. Listen. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious people. Here's the idolatry that created that rebellious heart, which has eyes to see but does not see, ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity, and go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight. It may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. In other words, maybe they will get it. This is where this is going to lead you. It's going to lead you into captivity. Your enemies are going to that have blinded you through idolatry, now is going to bind you. The reformer Martin Luther said that we don't ever commit any other sin without first breaking the first of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. That means every sin we commit after that is the result of idolatry. Pastor and evangelist D.L. Moody declared, "You don't have to go to heathen lands today to find false gods. America is full of them. Whatever you love more than God is your idol." A.B. Simpson confirmed that. He said, as long as you want anything so very much, especially more than you want God, it is an idol. Idolatry, therefore, is having any false god, any object, idea, philosophy, habit, occupation, sport, or whatever. See, none of these are sins of themselves until they become desired and therefore worshipped, served, sought more than God. Amen? Whatever has one's primary concern and loyalty, or that to any degree decreases one's trust in and loyalty to the Lord, that's idolatry. A.W. Tozer defines it this way: the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. The germination of all idolatry is rooted in a diluted understanding of God. We undervalue His worthiness, dismiss His holiness, disregard His love, dilute His truth, or forget His jealousy. We begin to erect idols as our affections drift away from the exclusive worship He requires. John Piper says it this way. He calls this the first dark exchange in his commentary on Romans chapter 1. The passage describes how men chose not to honor God they knew, then exchanged His glory for idolatry. Piper describes it this way, and I quote, "People behold and know the glory of God offered them for their joy and their trust, and they exchange it for images." A.W. Tozer also said, "An idol of the mind is as offensive to God as an idol of the hand." The danger of idolatry is not found simply in the things we can hold and label as idols. Idols are conceived deep in the human soul, evolving in the mind and poisoning the will long before they are evidenced in behavior or objects. This begins as a seed of self-love in the heart. Now, I'm talking. You'll be able to tell the difference. I'm not as eloquent, but I'm going to talk to you plainly today. That's why Colossians chapter 3 is so important. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not upon the things of the earth. Amen. And in verse 5 it says, "Mortify or put to death your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which means uncontrolled sexual lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to read that. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you, having nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Another translation says, don't be controlled by your body. Kill every desire for the wrong kind of sex. Don't be immoral or indecent or have evil thoughts. Don't be greedy, which is the same as worshiping idols. There's room in all of our lives to take an honest inventory, an honest search, and make sure that we are not worshiping anyone, anything, or trusting in anyone or anything, even self, other than our God, bowing to no other God, substituting no one and nothing for Him, not allowing our heart to go after the things that the devil tempts us with all the kingdoms of this world. Oh, friend of mine, this is the sin, ultimate sin of pride that made it a devil, an angel, a devil. He was lifted up because of his beauty, and he wanted to be God rather than serve God. He wanted to be God other than bow to God. He wanted to be God and be like God other than to worship and serve God. He said, I will be like the Most High. He was lifted up because of his own beauty. The ultimate narcissist is the devil. The source of all pride is the devil. And pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. But God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you, because it won't go to your head, and it won't begin to creep into your heart, the pride of self-exaltation and self-accomplishment. No, we will give all the glory to God. I want to read something very quickly from a missionary who made a trip to Nepal. He said, I was on a mission trip to Nepal, a fulfillment of a lot of dreams I had from early in my Christian life. I always had a heart for Nepal. Prayed for an unreached people group in Nepal for 10 years. Then the door opened and there was an opportunity for me to go on a mission trip. And we were there in the capital city of Kathmandu. And we were at a restaurant, the kind of open-air restaurant, waiting for lunch, and I heard the repetitive tap, tap, tap of a hammer on metal. I thought we were near an auto body shop, because I also saw the bluish glow of an acetylene torch. And I mentioned those sights and sounds. The missionary that we were with said, it's not an auto body shop. That's an idol factory. It's a Buddhist kingdom here. That mountainous kingdom. And there are statues of Buddha everywhere. They are manufactured continually. There's a big trade in idols there in Kathmandu. And it was hard to believe. And it was actually kind of hard to keep eating my meal as we continued to hear the sound of these idols being fashioned. But as I look back on that experience, I think about another Bible scholar who said the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. The human heart is a perpetual idol factory. Now, we don't eat our meals near idol factories, hearing the tap, tap, tap of a hammer on metal or other sounds of that kind. Our very hearts are fashioning continually, fashioning the idols that are bringing us spiritual torment. We're making them ourselves. Friend of mine, this is a warning of the danger. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. Little children, flee from idolatry. Little children, keep yourself from idolatry. Little children today, children of God, listen. It is time that we recognize and revere our God as the true and the living God, and we have no other gods beside Him. Put no other gods above Him. Hallelujah. And we keep our faith. And when God blesses us, that we give Him the glory, we give Him the credit, and we give Him the honor, the reverence, and the gratitude that is due Him today. And through that, we flee from idolatry. We keep ourselves from idolatry. Hallelujah. In a great house, the Scripture says there's many different implements, some of wood and clay and some of silver and some of gold. It tells us to flee youthful lust. Hence, little children, as we begin our life in the Lord, begin to grow in the Lord, and idolatry is presenting itself. Keep your heart with all diligence, as the Scripture teaches us, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Hallelujah. God will help us do this. God will help us do this if we will keep Him in the proper place in our life. Hallelujah. Keep Jesus as your sovereign as well as your Savior, your Lord and your Savior. And you won't have to worry about idolatry, because no one and nothing will be able to take His place as the object of your love, your adoration, and your commitment to follow. So let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus today, looking away from all that will distract, setting your gaze upon Him, running with perseverance the race that is set before us. Praise God. God will help us through this old world that is filled with idolatry. And God will help us to cleanse our heart from making anyone or anything an idol, and thereby displeasing our God and displacing our God from the rightful place that He and He alone should have in our life. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean you're not worshiping someone. It doesn't mean you're not a worshiper. It simply means you're worshiping something or someone, or even yourself, out of self-love, more than the Creator who made you and the Savior who died to save you. So I pray today that you will turn from idols and you will turn from self and you will come to Jesus. You will run to Jesus. And the way to get rid of all the idolatry in your life is to bow before Jesus. Humble yourself. Confess your sin. Repent of it. And receive Him as your Savior, your Sovereign, your King, your Lord. God will pardon you. God will forgive you. And as you are coming out from among them and committing to follow Him, God will be your Father. You will be His son, His daughter. He'll protect you. He'll provide for you. He will save you. And He will seal you with the Holy Spirit. And He will keep you safe from the wrath to come. Dear friend, this is the day of salvation. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Amen.